like it's over to me, doesn't it? Well, it's good to be stood here again. As you're probably aware by now, given the sort of Russ and Beebe thing, the preaching timetable went a bit out the window. In fact, it was thrown into chaos, really, by the sudden departure of Russ and Beebe. And I am genuinely disappointed that we never got to hear Beebe preach and we never got to hear Russ's second word, because I thoroughly enjoyed the week when he did preach. But we just got to trust that the Lord knows what he's doing. Right. Neil Trotter. No? He's a 41-year-old man from Coolsden in Surrey. Now, I'm sure by the reaction I just got, not many of you know who on earth Neil Trotter is. Well, a little bit of a story about Neil Trotter. On Friday the 14th of March this year, Neil popped into the local Londis store on his way home from work and he bought £10 worth of Euro Millions lottery tickets for that night's draw. Later that night, he sat incredulously as he watched one of his 10 tickets perfectly match each of the 7 numbers that were drawn out. Neil was the single ticket winner of an eye-watering Euro Millions jackpot of £108 million. £108 million. What are the odds? Well, there's something like 1 in 76,275,360, approximately, so I believe. Pretty long odds, don't you agree? Now, don't worry, I'm not here to preach on the whole dangers of gambling and stuff like that. But we're just going to have a look at a few other things which have got quite long odds. Winning the UK National Lottery, you've got a chance, so it's a better chance than the Euro Millions, of 1 in 13,983,816-ish. But save your £2 and give it to the church. That's what you should be doing. You'll be more blessed by that, trust me. The odds of being killed by a shark. 1 in 264 million-ish. I'm getting a bit morbid now. Dying in a plane crash. Don't worry, Christina. Listen to the odds. Listen to the odds. 1 in 11 million-ish. So... Right, now, all of those things, we can have an impact on the odds easily. If we never buy a lottery ticket, then we can 100% guarantee we'll never win it. If we never go in the sea, then we should never be killed by a shark. Now, the reason I say should is because you might go to one of these sea life centres and do something really stupid. But again, that involves you taking a step into the water. So if you never, ever go in water, you're not going to get eaten by a shark. And the plane crash, if you don't travel on a plane, that obviously drastically reduces your chances of dying in a plane crash. You could be the unlucky one to be on the ground as it lands. Covering all bases, but... chances are, if you don't go on a plane, you're not going to die in a plane crash. So you can alter them things by your decisions, your choices. That's the good bit. So, Neil Trotter. Back to our friend Neil Trotter. At odds of around 1 in 76 million, he must have felt like the luckiest person on the planet. The truth is, Neil Trotter had already won a bigger lottery with far bigger odds. Neil Trotter had been born and he couldn't alter them odds because he had nothing to do with it. Now, some very clever people in universities, Esther, in the good old US of A, have estimated that the chances of you, exactly you, being born are, to wait for this, 6 × 10⁻⁰, or other estimates are 1 in 10⁻²,685,000. Now, I'm pretty much like you there, Simon. Those numbers are unimaginable. I cannot even understand what 10 to the power and all. The amount of zeros must just be unbelievable. And I just can't comprehend how big that number is. Now, I'm clearly not a mathematician, anyone who knows me. I am quite a simple man, really. And when I was reading some of these, I was reading some of the background into it and how they'd work them out and the probabilities and the rationale. And my head started to hurt. It just didn't make sense to me. And I even started thinking, what if they got it wrong? Could be wrong. And then thought they could be wrong and you could lose 3 noughts. You could lose 5 noughts, 10 noughts, and it wouldn't make any difference. The number's still that big that it's still unimaginable. So I was thinking, what? So that sort of did blow my mind a bit. But I did realise that these numbers mean that it's actually a miracle that our friend Neil Trotter exists. It really is. And not just Neil Trotter, but each and every person in this room and each and every person on the planet. So I'm going to take away all the odds and the big numbers and the stuff that messes with your head. And the only way I can make it a little bit more real for me, and hopefully this makes it real for you, is I'm going to go back 2 generations in my family, and we can see how creative God was. So my grandparents, my nan and granddad on my mum's side, bless them, from Birmingham, they met when they were about 20. And the deal was, my granddad had gone to watch a parade through the town, and he'd arranged to meet, we'll call her Margaret. He'd arranged to meet Margaret, because I don't know the details of that. He'd arranged to meet Margaret. Whilst he's waiting for Margaret and the parade's going past, across the way, he sees Ethel. Beautiful, beautiful Ethel. Love at first sight. Granddad never got to meet Margaret. Margaret got swerved. Probably not the gentlemanly thing to do, but when love breaks in, there you go. Short time later, Ethel and Harold, my nan and granddad, were married. Okay, man and wife, they had a son, John, and they had a daughter, Val, my mum, just to keep you in the loop. When my mum was about 2, my granddad got offered a job in St. Helens at Pilkington's as a foreman. Quite a good job. So he accepted the job and he moved family up to St. Helens, to Eccleston. Now, when my mum reached the ripe old age of 17, she decided she was going to go out to a local dance hall in St. Helens with some of her mates. While she was there, there was a 16-year-old lad called Alec who had gone on a bit of a jaunt, because Alec was from Heighton. And from Heighton to St. Helens, back in the day, it was like going into the country. It really was. So Alec and his mates had thought, let's go out to the country, let's go to the dance hall, see what's going on there. So Alec and Val met, and yes, love at first sight, 16 and 17. Within a year, they were married. For all the parents in here, that's like, what? Yeah. They were how young? But yes, they were married. And then short time later, baby girl. Then they had a traumatic experience of losing a baby boy very late in the pregnancy. Then they had another boy and another boy. It's a good Catholic family. And then I came along. Now, I've been told by my mum that I wasn't necessarily planned. Although she did say I was very, very welcome. Yeah. She's trying to make me feel good, to be honest, but there you go. They even had to move house to accommodate me because the family had outgrown the house, so we moved up the road. So, in worldly terms, I wasn't planned. But boy, oh boy, was I planned in the kingdom of God. Now, that's just a short little snippet of one little bit of a family. You think how many stuff's going on here. Now, I just think it's amazing to think of how many meetings, how many acceptances of job offers, how many conversations contained within that story happened. And if any one of them hadn't have happened, I would not be here now. And Thomas and Daniel wouldn't be here now. It's that pinpoint. And that's sort of the meetings and the conversation side of it. That's before we even get to the biological bit. And dare I say, like Les Dawson now, sperm and eggs. The whole sperm and eggs thing is ridiculous. I read some of that stuff. If you thought them numbers messed with your mind, some of the numbers going on in them areas are even worse. It's just phenomenal. The chances of that one sperm and that one egg being together are phenomenal. And if they hadn't have met, I wouldn't be here. It's that much detail goes into it. So God puts in a whole series of interactions over thousands of years, because this goes back, it's not just my nan and granddad, there's generations and generations and generations before that. And all of them had to be in place for me to be here. And it's the same for everyone in this room. Not just mine, it's every one of you guys. There's a quote from Will Durant, who's a well-known writer, historian and philosopher. If we have never been amazed by the very fact that we exist, we are squandering one of the greatest facts of all. Because it's not something I'd actually thought about. Because you just think, I'm here. It's happened. There you go. But if you think about it a bit more deeply, it is extremely deep. So, the world might say, I'm lucky to be alive. When you look at the odds, when you look at the chances of all of them things happening to be in the right place. But am I lucky to be alive? No, not at all. Luck has got absolutely nothing to do with it. I'm convinced of that. Let's open our Bibles or turn on our apps or whatever we've got. Psalm 139, starting at verse 1 through to verse 16. So I'll give you a couple of seconds to find it. I'm going to read it through 1 to 16, but I'm mainly going to concentrate on 13 to 16. Are we ready? You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I praise you. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. It's all about God completely knowing us. He knows our inmost beings, our thoughts. That's both amazing and, if I'm honest, a little bit scary. Because I know my thoughts and the things I do, I'm sure, don't always give God the greatest of pleasure. And yet he still loves me. We just can't hide from him. I'm going to start by looking verse 13 onwards. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Does that sound like me or you or anyone else was an accident? Not a chance. We are not accidents. I'm going to make no apologies. I'm going to read that again. Listen to it, because it's absolutely crucial. It blows me away. Just the depth in it and the truth in it. If you ever thought you shouldn't be here, listen to this again. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. We have been thought of and created by the creator of the universe. And by the way, guys, our God doesn't have a production line where he makes people. No. Doesn't churn out millions of exact replicas. Not at all. He makes every single one of us unique. Each person on the earth, every man, woman and child has different fingerprints, has different DNA. That's creative. That's extremely creative. In fact, it's bordering on showing off. Like, look what I can do. I can make all these people and they're all different because I am God. It's not showing off. It's because he wants you to be an individual. He wants you to be you. And you're not an accident. You're not a mistake. Verse 13 talks about being knit together. He knits us together. Now, I'm not a knitter myself. I have to confess that one. But I used to watch my mum knit when I was younger. Yes, Joy, my mum did used to knit. And it normally goes, as you get older, you knit. My mum's gone the other way. She does all daft stuff now. So, yeah, mum used to knit. I had the best swimwear in junior school. I'm going to have to say this one. So this bloke came up to me and said, as a young boy, did your mother used to knit much? I replied, let's get one thing clear. My mother was never a young boy. Anyway, my memory of watching my mum knit was that it took time and skill. The other thing was that each item was individual. Yeah, it was made to the same basic pattern. But it was handmade, and everything that's handmade is one of a kind. It was special. How many of us, certainly the guys who've had the babies, guys generally, families, have had a gift from a grandma or an auntie of a knitted cardi? Happens all the time. Now, we think about that. These items can become really, really special. Why? Well, because they're unique, but also because they're a gift from someone special. You and I are unique, and we're a gift. We're a gift to each other, from someone extra special, from God. God has made you to be a gift for the human race. Yet, despite these truths, the reality is many people, far from feeling special or like a gift, lots of people feel worthless, desperate, hopeless. Did you know that in 2012, because these are the only figures I could get, the amount of people over the age of 15 who took their own life was 5,981 in 1 year. It's nearly 6,000 people who felt so worthless and helpless, they felt the only way to escape was to end their own life. That's heartbreaking for me to think of. How much more heartbreaking is it for their creator? In the same year, in the UK, 651 people lost their lives at the hand of another human being. 651 murders. That's not good either. But I just think it's a bit sad to... Over 9 times more people lost their lives at their own hands than someone else. It's nearly 6,000 people who didn't realise their own value. Now, as Christians, we need only look to the cross to see our value. And I know it's been spoken about this morning. Andy shared some stuff. Look at the cross. We look to the cross and we see that God sent his only son to die on that cross for the forgiveness of our sins, only to rise again 3 days later to give us eternal life with him, if we declare him as our Lord and Saviour. Now, some of us may not ever feel suicidal. Some might. But we may not like ourselves very much. We might struggle with that side of things. This is a really dangerous trait to have. Because I believe God's character is woven into our very beings, as we've just heard. God's put something in us, he's created us. If that's the case, then to dislike or even hate ourselves is very dangerous. We just quickly turn to Matthew. It's chapter 12, verse 38. Matthew 22, verse 38. 37, sorry. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Yeah, you can sort of, you're Christian, you can deal with that one. And love God. I can love him with everything I've got. Something to work on. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. That might be a little bit tricky. If you dislike yourself, you hate yourself. It implores us to love your neighbour as you love yourself. So if you cannot love yourself, how on earth are you going to be able to truly love others? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about proud, vain or arrogant type of loving yourself. I'm not talking about loving ourselves because of who we are and what we can do. I'm talking about loving ourselves because of who is in us and what he's put in us. So verse 14 talks about being fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Stating the truth there, I know that full well. You're acknowledging God is fearfully and wonderfully made. He's made me in this way. I know it. You've got to be able to stand on that, guys. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Know it. Know it today. Because we need to have a healthy love of who we are to be able to genuinely pass on that love that God has placed within us to others. How can you give something out when you haven't got it? And some of you might have to readjust the way you think. Just read this passage if you want to know how special you are. So it's a bit of a contradiction this morning because on one hand, it's all about you. You're fearfully, wonderfully made. You've been created. You're a miracle. How you came to be, how precious you are, all them things. But on the other hand, it's definitely not about you. It's about the one who made you and how you can best serve him. You see, all of us are born and all of us live. Some shorter times than others and all that. But not all are born and choose to live in God's kingdom. That's the choice bit. We have to make a decision to follow God. Around the world and throughout the ages, there has and never will be another you. The miracle of your existence is now in your hands. God's done his bit. He's put you here. You are here for a purpose, each and every one of you in this room. You have something that only you can bring to this world in need. Only you. No one else can do what you can do in the way you can do it. And God has put you here to do that. God created you. God does not make mistakes. And be assured that God did not go to all the trouble of creating you so that you can make up the numbers. That's not what he made you for. You're not just another number in a family or a workplace or even a church congregation. Not at all. You need to get that thinking out your head. He created you and me to make a difference in those places, for the advancement of the kingdom. And don't give me all the old, I'm too old, too young, too shy, I'm too loud, I'm not this, I'm not that. That's just nonsense. Absolute nonsense. You are who God created you to be. And he's done that for a reason, because you can do, you can do, you can make a difference. Being born for such a time as this, let us draw on the Spirit of God inside us. Let it produce fruit in our lives. Let it cast out fear of failure or ridicule. We've all got potential. Now, the dictionary thing says about potential, having or showing the capacity to develop into something in the future. Or latent qualities or abilities that may be developed and lead to future success or usefulness. Don't leave potential inside you. God wants it to burst out. He wants it to overflow. So, relax. Place yourself in the centre of God's plan for your life. As all the days ordained before me, and you were written in God's book. God knows. And God knows best. So, to finish off, you are not lucky to be alive. You are handcrafted by God to be unique and to be a gift. As a believer, you have the Spirit of God within you. This should enable you to love yourself and in turn enable you to love your neighbours as Jesus commands. Each of you are and have been a blessing to me and my family and the wider body of Gateway in some shape or form. Some of you might be thinking, but you are. In lots of different ways. A smile, a hug, sometimes just being here. Being part of what God has called us to do is encouraging. I thank you for all the times you've encouraged me and my family. Thank you for all the times you've encouraged other people in the church. And God will be smiling down. He will be well pleased. So, I feel like God is challenging us all. Take a step back. Look at how big he is. Look at what he can do. How marvellously created we are. Look around. In this room, we're all different, we're all unique, we're all special. What was it Nigel says? Some are more unique than others. But then, I challenge us to step up and play our part, play your part in his plans for your life. You've got to do something as well. You've got to get the potential out. And if you get into God's plan, it will flow. It will flow. So, that's the end of that. However, what I'm going to say is, live at 5 tonight, I want to sort of link it in. What I want to do is spend some time just thanking God for things in your life. Thank him for creating you. Thank him for the people around you. Just thank him for anything that he's done in your life. Because I know in every person in this room, God has had an impact, whether it was through the salvation or beyond. Because I've sat with most of you and we've had discussions about different things where God has blessed you, where God has turned the situation around. Let's praise him tonight for that. But then what I want to do is I want us to sit. I want us to take that step back. See how big he is. And let's get spending a bit of time with him to see what his plans are for our lives. Not what my plans are for your life, or Chris's, or Ali's. What God's plan is for your life. Because trust me, you get on that right track with God's plan, much smoother, much faster, and be more fruitful. Amen. Thank you very much, guys.